Michiko Kelly. We are live from the Southwest studio. Hopped right over there from the West Coast. Mahalo over there. It's looking beautiful and a little hot everywhere. Today is July the 2nd, and the low shoe or flying star number of today is the number 3. And in the flying stars, there are 9 of them. The 3 is the anger star. Uh-oh. It doesn't stay that way, though. Anger goes to peace. Thank goodness for peace. And everything in between that can be compromised, that can bring peace. And that is in the center as well. That's the opportunity there. So if you see anything that resembles anger that pops up suddenly, just put your mind to compromise and peace as soon as possible, and you'll see how much better your day flows and the days of all of you around, all of those around you. And we are going through our feng shui practices. And the practices of feng shui, we practice a compass that's called the Bagua, and the Bagua has 8 directions. And we went through the Bagua in the archives on Blog Talk Radio. And so if you're very interested, just click back and listen to those. And we're going to start on some new topics. In the future, we're going right into the elements. Those are lovely. Right now, I'm going to do some basics on feng shui. Also, that 8-sided Bagua compass has with it the 12 animals. And that plops down right on top of the compass. And so you are one of those 12 animals. Now, what's on top of that are the elements. And there are 5 elements that we work with in the feng shui practice. And we like to put earth in the middle, in the center, because actually all of the elements contain a component of earth in some way, shape, or form. And so I love that because I'm earth. And also, in feng shui, there's an element of the day, and the element of the day is earth. And so every day, it goes through one of the animals, one of the elements, and one of those, remember, those 9 flying stars. So those are the practices in feng shui that we do. And we put it together with astrology, the Western astrology table. And so then you have the both worlds put together, the Eastern and the Western. And so if you are interested in a feng shui consultation, which includes going through your home virtually or in person, you can contact both of us at pathfinder1111@gmail.com and ask about it. Or you can go to our Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, please do that. Go to Facebook and get on Aloha Healers Network Community. and like that. And I put up every day an aloha image of the day to put a spark there in your day. And so check out the page daily for updates and that aloha image. It's really, really fun. I enjoy picking them out for you guys. And also, if there are any events, of course, we'll be posting there. And we've just finished with some lovely LA experiences. And I want to thank LA and tell you how much we appreciate and love you. And thanks all for listening to Aloha Healers Network here on blogtalkradio.com. And in the feng shui consultation that you would get, what happens is we get a compass out, and the very first thing we look at is your front door. So in the front door is where all the energy is going to come in, right, and or go out. And so whatever flying star is there or animal would be there, maybe that is your animal direction. So it's really good to know your animal and what compass direction that is, because I was just able to help a really dear sister out, and she was traveling. And so since she is an ox and there's the heaven star there, she was able to just bring 6 smooth stones with her in her suitcase and find the northeast in the place that she's in right now and place those 6 smooth stones to activate that 6th heaven star that flew to the northeast this year. And that's how fun and easy that is. Pathfinder and I, when we do our consultations, we use the real elemental form of the elements if and when at all possible. So we're going to be using earth and rocks and stones and plants and fire and water and real types of the elements in your feng shui consultation. So that part's really fun, learning about the elements. And remember, stay tuned, because we're going to learn about those elements one by one and what activates them and what balances them and what suppresses them and what just does a little bit and what does all of, both and all. And it's really fun to use those elements. And we use them with the flying stars, because those fly along with the stars. They land in those locations, and they generate that energy that they show up with whatever Bagua direction that is. So you got your Bagua compass on, your hat on, and you're going through the feng shui consultation. We walk through the front door. It takes about an hour and a half. And then from there, it's really easy. With a compass, you can just realize what's on your north wall, what's on your south wall, what's on your east wall, west, and the cross directions. And also using the animal that you are, and also you are born with one of those 5 elements, using the element that you are, and taking into consideration also your spouses and your children. We do lots of family feng shui, lots. Lots and lots. It's really fun. And especially to have the children know what their compass direction is so early in life. I wish I would have known my compass direction so many years ago. I it's so silly. I didn't know that, because I was actually born in Hawaii, but brought over to the Seattle area pretty early in my life. So I didn't really grow up with that culture so much, so hard that early. Later, though, I came into it and started studying it and love it along with my grandparents and my ancestors. It's lovely to know what animal you are, what element you are, and what compass direction that ends up to be in the regular real compass. That's your corner, or that's your wall, or that's your space in your house. That is the place that you are going to have to make sure always that is at least tidy, at least clean. That's the very least. At least go clean that up. Because if it's a collector of dust or rubbish, then that's your direction. And so the like feng shui, we would want to clear that feng shui, wouldn't we? And we would want, you would feel better. you would be so surprised how much better you feel. And you'd no idea that that was there in that way with you. But it is, and it's really fun to practice feng shui. And you can practice feng shui in a variety of different ways. You can practice them by following the flying stars and do the consultation with us. And we will go through the annual flying stars. And the three, remember, is in the center. And so that leaves eight more stars, and that's the Bagua. And that's kind of how easy it is. I know it doesn't sound real easy, but that's the Bagua with the eight remaining stars placed in those areas. And it's just like a tic-tac-toe board, the flying stars, with one in the center. And then you've got the three, and the three that create the nine. And all of those stars, where they end up, in which compass direction, affect the energy to all kinds of things that we want to amplify, or we want to suppress, or we just want to balance out a little bit and ride. Or, I mean, there are all kinds of things. And now in the Bagua also, if you have preferences that you're trying to do with your life that you would like to get going, that you've been meaning to take to the next level, that's how you can amplify that with feng shui practice as well, using the compass direction of either your career or your family or your wealth or your health. And you find out those directions. You can find them out with the consultation, or you can go online and you can find out your qua. It's called qua direction, Q-U-A, qua. And you will find out the best compass directions for those types of things, the prosperity, the health, the wealth, the family. And those are very real compass directions. And so let's say the compass direction for instance, your wealth, so we're going to use the north. Since the eight star flew there and is the wealth star, we're going to just use the north so that it will pertain, right, for this year only like that. So this is 2015, by the way, if you're in the archives in space. We welcome you. I know. We're kind of tired of getting silly. So where am I in space, Pathfinder?
You're in the north.
I am in the north talking about wealth. If you wanted to amplify that, you would use a wealth tree, a money bowl. You would put it in the north. You would actually physically place something in the north. Now, what if you don't want to just do that? You could just put a pile of coins there. That's so simple. Now, what if you think that that's just kind of crass and too rugged? Well, you can go glamorous, and you can get a picture of a beautiful wealth ship. You know, this big wealth ship carrying cargoes of all kinds of goods and like this, and you could put it there like that. So images will work, and or real things, like I said, like a money tree or growing things like bamboo. That's going to grow your money. Now, there's a fun little tip that I will give you, and that is to put three coins underneath your growing money tree. And those three coins are metal. They signify metal because they're round, for one, and round is a metal image shape. And for two, they are, I think, still actually metal, or they represent good metal. So you could put three coins underneath your growing plant in the north and grow the wealth. And some people's qua numbers, the wealth is their, the north is their wealth direction. And that would stay like that for their whole life. For the rest of us, though, for all of 2015, we are going to all use that eight and the wealth direction of the north, and we're going to activate it. And so all of those things that you can do to think of activating, putting a wealthy look, or the red packet, the red Chinese packet, you put coins in, you could put the three coins in there, and they can go over the front door like that. And that's a wealth activation too. And they also have, if you've seen a lot of the feng shui pieces, you don't have to go out and buy lots of feng shui pieces, but some of them you might like. And so you might want one. Have you seen those Chinese emperor coins? And they have a square cut in the middle, and they will be threaded together in groups of six or nine, like this, with red ribbon. That is also a wealth feng shui enhancer. And so those types of things you would learn with your consultation. And the first thing, we go through the front door, figure out where your bedroom is, figure out where your living room is, what walls are on what, and go to work. There's nine sectors. And we also do the restroom areas for sure. Now, those things take a little bit, but it's easy. So I'm not going to tell you how to do all that right here on the radio show. You'll have to get a consultation. Pretty easy. It's with mirrors. And the reason is to keep the chi, which is the moving force, in there. You don't want that chi in your other areas that you're trying to activate and, you know, create a good space with. So the one thing, too, is to, if at all possible, please close the door to that all the time and keep it closed and then get a consultation. You can learn how to make that room disappear, and it's real easy and fun to do. We also want you to make sure that your wealth is in good order. So use some river rocks and ground your wealth with a rock in the drain. If you haven't heard about rocks in the drain, we use rocks in our drains, and we put them actually on top of the sink drain, not in the drains. But that is the signification of wealth. Water and wealth in feng shui is the same flow. And so the things also are to make sure that flow is flowing and that you have no backed up plumbing, no sinks that don't drain. The sink that, you know, keeps not draining, you got to keep clearing it. Just keep doing it, because that's a wealth aspect of what you're living with right now. And the consultations are super, super fun. And they're way easy and affordable, too. So email us or go to the Facebook page, and I'm giving your feng shui fitness tip of the day and the feng shui fitness tip for health and good bones. And working body is still nutrition. And we're going to be doing our nutrition for the rest of our lives. And so let's think about it. And let's make sure that we are buying some of our things local, because we actually get some medicine and some fun things with that, with our local land and our local air that we actually live. And if you don't know, find out about the things that are grown around you locally, and not just the things that are your favorites that are brought in from elsewhere. You can eat those too, but add in some local flavor. And that is my feng shui fitness nutrition tip for the day. Next, we have everyone's beloved and favorite Pathfinder. Whoop, whoop.
How metakyopi miedo chunku woksapi wichasha. It's good to be here with everybody again. We had a lovely trip over to LA and Oxnard, and got to see Tooanga and La Canada, Flint Ridge, and just different areas right over there, not that far from LA. Some beautiful mountains and clearer air, which is really nice. Today's topic is direct connect to God, our source of life and healing. And this is a special topic that we're bringing in today. And the reason is I ran into a couple of folks that I did some healer training with. They were already on their way to learning some of the healing practices through different schools over that direction. And it came up that they need a little bit of help because they're just kind of starting off. And the basic is that when you're going to participate as a healer, as a profession, and this is different than a massage therapist, it's different than a doctor or a naturopath or you know, these other ones. Those are associated with medicine, but a healer, we actually become an open door for the spirit of God, the spirit of Creator, and through the elements and the natural laws to move directly with that person, to that person or that situation. Now, we can use many different modalities. It can be through massage. It can be through a type of shamanism. It can be through shiatsu or anma and all the different techniques from around the world. Thai yoga massage is a really good one, too, that's come out recently. We're therapists and healing workers, but then there's a whole nother level to being a healer. And this has to do with our personal relationship with God and then how we open ourselves to be a vessel of the Creator distributing life throughout everything. And then each of us as an individual, let's get real close to God. And I've run into this comment, I believe in the power of the universe and I'm tied into the universal chi and I do it broadly like that. Well, in my experience, to receive a blessing through a manifestation of God, a personification of Creator, is the power. It's the connection. And this can be done through culture or it can be done through mysticism. Through culture, that would be like, for instance, some Native American cultures so bathed in the more traditional side and the understanding of the earth that the powers of the elements and the natural day-to-day walk with Creator, the sun, the earth, the moon, the planets, all of our relatives, gives that connection, and yet you'll find that there's a specialization, like one medicine man or singer might work with the spider. They might work with the deer. They might work with the eagle. They might work with the buffalo. They might work with the tunka, the stone. And be through the stone nation, the first nation of life, that they then get their direct connect to the Creator for that energy which balances and causes the healing and the cleanup. Because there are a lot of aspects to actual healing. It's a stage process. Now, for the rest of us, especially the Christian world, for instance, I meet a lot of dissociated Catholics or people that are dissociated because their home religion was too radical to allow the preciousness that was inside them to continue to come forward, and so they feel repressed. And then people tend to blame God on some feeling level when actually it was people or the way people organize themselves. And so I'm going to say to you, let go of religion and grasp spirituality. And spirituality is this direct connection to Creator, this direct connection to the Mother Earth, the direct connection to the sacred spirit which bathes and moves in all life, and see yourself as precious and receive that blanket of the spirit to fill you in every single particle. You are a loving and loved child of God. We are one big family. And we have the friends in the bird nations and in, let's say, the sage nation and in, let's say, the amethyst nation. These are our relatives. And when we participate in the movement of the Spirit through breath and prayer and communion and song and in just the feeling of love and happiness, we are engaging God in our lives. And that's the purpose. That's why we're here. We get to go to the playground of the Mother Earth and be drenched in the Spirit of God. And so for any of us out there that we're experiencing an unhealthiness, you know, whether it's acute, chronic, big, little, become filled with the life of God. Know that you are worthy. Do your inner child work and take off the feelings of unworthiness or abandonment or depression or confusion, and know that that was created, let's say, by man. That's not our eternal estate. And then because we've been given such a great gift by our Creator and by our Mother Earth to have this physical body and to have this spirit and to be a living and breathing soul, let us honor that by taking some personal time, whether it be through meditation, whether it be through prayer, communion, song. In India, they call that bhakti. It says, definitely worship before the Lord, because this is our soul singing with the angels the glory of creation and life. And this fills us with life. And when we become filled with life, then with the abundance that overflows, we can help someone else. And so let us remember to direct connect to God, our source of life and healing. Now, within ourselves has been put a mystical blueprint throughout our bodies. The human body represents the universe. You could say the universe is in us, and we are a speck in the universe. And when we understand that at our heart of hearts, the thymus gland, that God has pressed the imprint of the mighty Elohim, the perfect design for our body, our physical, our emotional, our mental, and our spiritual body, which being our light body, that from this point, a river can open through being in original mind and original heart, to be like a child and a master at the same time, and to allow that light to flow through every little part of the body, the hands, the feet, the chakras and along the spine, the glands, all the blood cells, our beating heart, our living mind, and to be bathed in that original light, which gives the highest instruction to our DNAs and to the nucleuses of the cells and how the cells process and work. And in becoming full of light, to retain the sacred estate that the Creator has given us. And in the name of those that have come before us to open that door, and by the goodness of God's Spirit, blessings throughout all.
Mahalo anui loa, Pathfinder. And remember, we all want to extend ourselves in the emotional, spiritual, mental, and physical, all rise best together. And we are closing our Aloha Healers Network show today with the five Reiki principles. Today, I let go of anger. Today, I let go of worry. Today, I'm thankful and give thanks for my many blessings. Today, I'm kind with honor and respect to all living beings. I do my work honestly.
In I love